Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello. You all right?
Yeah, I've been up all night pondering.
You've been up pondering?
Because my new husband's...
Are you been up with your binoculars watching for the council to turn up to have another go at your bush?
Well, do you know what? I've been talking about this bush for quite a while.
I know.
My bush.
Yeah.
It is a buckthorn. And, I was talking to one of the locals.
Terry, her bush is full of weasels, or it was, until the council had a go at it.
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly come in.
And a nightingale, Tezza. Yeah. A nightingale. Must they have... How lovely Terry is looking today, isn't he, Terry?
He's got a pink jumper on, hasn't he?
Yeah, he looks lovely. Very new man.
I'm not allowed to wear pink.
Why not? Does it not suit your complexion?
No, Amanda don't like it. No.
Why?
I don't know. She just says...
Well, you got your own mind, don't you? You can wear what you want.
No. No, don't listen to her, Amanda. I've never said that. No.
I personally don't really like you in black and navy. I think you wear a lot of black and navy.
Yeah, right? I know.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know why?
I'm not keen.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, you like to keep me not keen. Now, I'd like to see you in a bit of colour. Purple?
Yeah, would
you?
Yeah, purple.
Wear yellow. That would be fun.
Oh, yellow.
Yeah, no. Then you'd get all the... Do you know, I wore a yellow jumper the other day on my dog walk, and all these little thunderflies were all over me. I was like a black and white... Dalmatian.
Talking of yellow, have you seen...
As we were.
We've launched a new website for...
Oh, yeah.
Radio.
Is our picture on it yet?
It is. It's yellow.
Is it? I haven't seen it. Nobody's... I hope it was soft focus. I was asking Mikey to soft focus it before they put us on.
No, it was your photographs he used because you stuck your oar in when he asked for photographs and sent us a photograph of the pair of us with me looking like a Yeti.
What was it in your gilet?
Yeah.
Well, my new husband said, how did you both turn up in the studio in gilets?
Oh, no. It was ridiculous.
He said, you've been going around with Paul Andrews far too long that you now even dress the same.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But you sent him the photograph, so he used it. Whereas I had a nicely photoshopped photo of me when I was 25 and I had hair and all kinds of things.
Well, I did send my JPS one when I was a JPS girl. I sent him that.
That's a bit fuzzy, that one, isn't it? Yeah.
You know what? Because it was in 1066.
We didn't have cameras. It was a photograph. Before they invented cameras, it was a painting, actually. Yeah,
oil painting, wasn't it? Yeah, and I was no oil painting. But you know, it made me laugh that JPS photo because my Lotus Esprit Turbo, darling, was my company car, as you know.
Yeah,
and I could just park it in the road in Clapham Junction. You could park in those days in London outside your little flat.
You could drive into London.
You can't
do that anymore
without a U-list.
Yeah,
I never really knew what a U-list was. I've only just learned.
Oh, no, that'll be the next one then.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think it's illegal, actually.
Yeah.
Lots of plumbers shouting, but it's just the name of it, Euler's. I thought it was some sort of ailment. I was looking it up.
It is, really. Yeah, it's a mental deficiency. Yeah.
Anyway, so I was talking to a local, he's my local baker, actually, Colin, who grew up in Whitstable.
Right.
And he walks by every day, but he hadn't noticed my bush had gone.
Right.
And so I dragged him over there with his two Pekingeses, and you know what little yappy dogs are like. I dragged him. I said, Colin, come and look what they've done to my triangle. So he was shocked, and he said when he was a kid,
carry on.
When he was a kid, he said it was all bush there.
Yeah.
But of course now it's... It's the Brazilian look, isn't it?
No.
I think.
No, now you're going too far. have the council...
We've got all gentlemen in the room as well. I'm the only lady. Yeah. Lady, I am a lady. No,
but have the council actually replied to any of the abuse you've given them on Twitter they've done there?
I've gone all hot now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, actually, the council do follow me, as you know, and they used to reply to me.
Yeah, but they stopped, haven't
they? Have you noticed they've gone completely silent? Really so, because I did that... Do you remember I did that picture of them cutting, lawn mowing the grass
that had already been cut?
Bare ground basically, and Canterbury Council send them every 2 weeks regardless of a heat wave, so it's bare ground and they're out there. There's two tractors on Tankerton Slopes from my house, I can see them, and a strimmer as well, and I videoed it, and of course it went viral.
Yeah.
And what did the head of Canterbury Council... We will not be listening to anyone on social media about our grass cutting.
Yeah.
Well, they should be listening because my money.
And that wasn't any
taxpayer.
There wasn't any grass to cut.
They were trimming the bare ground. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway.
So now they don't really answer me.
Yeah.
But they do follow me still, whereas Jeremy Vine has blocked me.
Oh, I don't blame
him.
He
used to follow me.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's
on his
blocked
bike.
Me.
Did he follow you on his bike?
With a camera.
Yeah.
He always has a camera, doesn't he?
Jules.
He has quite a few scrapes, doesn't he?
Well, he likes a scrape, doesn't he? Because then he can have a moan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I must say, this global warming, while we're on the subject bushes.
Were we on the subject?
Yellow, global warming. It's absolutely freezing where I live. The north wind, and new husband's in Nigeria where it's hot.
Right.
And the north wind, we've got very old windows and it's billowing in through there. You know, I have to have the electric blanket
it's
on.
It's cold around the bush.
It's very cold around the bush. Yeah. Nippy, in fact.
Yeah.
So, he sent me some pictures of Nigeria.
Right.
I'll WhatsApp you one. I'm not going to put it on Twitter because it's a bit rude because I've got lots of friends in Nigeria. But I will WhatsApp you one, Paul Andrews, in a minute. Don't worry about washing your yoghurt pots because I've seen a picture of their beach and it's all plastic, basically.
You've lost me there.
Plastic debris all over the beach.
In Nigeria?
Yeah, I wouldn't bother washing your yoghurt pot. It's not going to make any difference.
All right, okay.
And you know my experience in Dubai recently where I said, how can I recycle all these water bottles? I had about 2 weeks' worth of glass and plastic. And they said, oh, just put it in the rubbish.
Yeah.
So don't bother washing your yoghurt pot.
I can't say that I ever did.
I need to... Oh, really? Have you told Amanda?
We don't eat yoghurt.
You've got a child. Surely she eats yoghurt.
No, she has those squeezy things.
Oh, no. Oh, I wouldn't have that. That's got all sugar in and stuff.
Of course.
Have live yoghurt and just add fruit.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah, an 11-year-old's really going to eat that, isn't she?
But she's quite health conscious, Lucy, isn't she? She's quite good on it all.
Is she?
Doesn't eat lots of chocolate, does she?
No, she hates chocolate.
I know. I've got my lisp back on my microphone, so I'm
You've
holding
got your what?
This. My lisp back that no one else can hear.
It's just you.
No, it must be my headphones. I'm going to swap in a minute with Tezza and he'll tell you if there's a lisp or not. I'm going to annoy him and swap headphones when he's not looking.
Do you want to read an email or a tweet?
Yeah, I will. I have been up all night, but I'll do my best.
Hold on, why have you been up? You've been up with your binoculars, haven't you?
No, I was up seething about that I'm number two in AstraZeneca in the whole of UK as the worst bloody batch.
Right.
What I was going to say to you was, don't you think we should introduce the guests?
No.
You don't agree with that, but in the studio, I'm surrounded by footballing hunks.
She says to me, shall we introduce a guest?
Footballing hunks.
And I go, go on then, and she goes, well, I don't know their name.
Well, we've got Paul Whitehead. I thought he was a comedian. Somebody Whitehead.
Yeah.
I have a little bit.
Yeah. We've got Paul Whitehead and David Dueno.
Spot on.
Is that Italian?
No, it's actually French.
Is it originally
spelt with a G.
Mais oui.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. David Dueno. And they're from Welling United.
Yeah, they are.
Football. And then, of course, we've got our old friend, who's quite young, but, you know, of old of the radio, let's say, Terry Botfield. And you can follow him on the Twitter at TDBotty.
This is our favourite Twitter handle, TDBotty on the Twitter.
TDBotty, BOTTY. Do give him a follow. And Welling United, give them a follow.
You know, that took me all of 3 seconds to work out that TDBotty. 3 seconds.
And you've got a bit of a Brummy accent, haven't you?
I'm from north of Watford.
Yeah, bit of a Brummy. And then we've got the A-up a bit later.
Oh, no, leave him alone.
We've got some whippets in later.
Yeah.
Timmy Taylor.
I can do Wolverhampton.
Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
No, you can't do it. You're in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
And the lovely Tracy Ferguson, she owns Plucky's World. You can find her on pluckysworld.com. That's Plucky with a Y. Y-S, Plucky's.
Not Plucky with a P.
No. Well, yes, Plucky with a P. PLUCKYSworld.com is what I was alluding to, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
She says... She's supporting self-awareness. She's a personal growth trainer and mentor. And her motto is, the time to do what you love is now. Everyone exits the studio immediately to do what they love. True, Terry?
No.
What would you do in the next minute if you had...
God, that's a question.
If you had a time.
Out of the blue, isn't it?
Yeah.
What would I do if I had a favourite thing?
Come forward.
I'd probably book a holiday.
Yeah,
yeah, why not?
Hey, top of my list.
I've just had a tweet from Martin Reeves after your fantastic introduction.
Is he with the Vandellas?
No, he's not. He's on his own at the moment.
In the loft.
Yeah. He says, Vanilla Webb, that's me, and Jules, listening live to the Business Bunker Show this afternoon. My dad was from Welling and took me to see Welling United play back in the day.
You see, it was worth introducing the guest at the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I always say to you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read a little message. This is from Home to Rome, a man, a motorhome, and a message.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that, there was somebody camping outside my house last night, and they're not allowed to, you know. It annoys me. They had a little washing...
Just read
the email. They had a little washing up bowl.
Goodness sake.
I had to watch them washing up this morning as I had my
coffee.
Just
read the email.
Okay, so this isn't just a story about a man doing some phenomenal fundraising work. This isn't even just a story about a man who fought against the odds and came out swinging. This is a story about the journey between clawing out of the murky depths of rock bottom to forging a life of fulfillment, connection and meaning, something we all crave. On the 29th of April of 2023, Dan Keeley will be running 1,100 miles from the London Eye to the Colosseum in Rome. And we're behind him all the way, and we're sure you will be too. Here's Dan's story. So running for his life, the moment that changed everything. And before you can understand the gravitas of this extremely physical feat, you must first understand the emotional and mental marathon that this man has already conquered to get to this point. So in 2012, Dan Keeley stood on the central lane of an Italian motorway, facing oncoming traffic and preaching to shocked drivers that he had all the answers to ease the world's suffering. By definition, Dan had lost his sanity. Fast forward to 2017, a five-year journey of rehabilitation, mental health treatment, and navigating life with a diagnosis of bipolar disorder. Dan prepared himself to return to Italy, but this time it's to run from Rome to home, the Colosseum to the London Eye via Sevenoaks. Dan made this incredible pilgrimage to celebrate his journey of recovery and encourage others to find the courage to speak out, open up and find help if they are suffering. Help Dan reach his target of £20,000 for the campaign against living miserably, United Against Suicide, plus an additional target of £2,000 for Snow Camp, which is turning young lives around with the power of snow sports. Every donation makes a difference. You can go to thekentbusinessradio.co.uk and there you'll find a link. And that is the story of From Home to Rome, a man, a motorhome and a message about Dan Keeley. So check it out on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. What a lovely idea. Well done, Dan.
It's a fantastic story as well, isn't it? And I want to thank Steph Harrison for sending me that because it's an important story to share with people. And we wish Dan every success with that.
Hugely important.
Absolutely. Wayne Cunnington's tweeted.
Oh, is he listening to God?
Yeah, he said, I'm tuning into the Business Bunker with Jules and Paul. No, Paul and Jules. Come on, Wayne. He says, live from hopefully a sunny garden. I wonder if Jules will be fully 11-zed up by talking about food, because her talking about food makes me hungry. Wayne, you know Jules by now. She doesn't stop eating. Whenever there's a pause, she's eating something. She's got a little boiled egg and a tomato in a jar.
I have, actually. It's in my bag.
I bet you have. I know she has. I tell you what. What are you doing when I have headphones?
Well, no, I was going to show you my boiled egg, but then my headphones fell off as I bent forward. You can't bend over in headphones.
Is that some... I've lost the plot there, is it? I don't know what she's talking about.
Well, I've decided...
No, I don't want to see your boiled egg, thank you very much.
It is, Paul. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, there it is, yeah. Boiled egg and tomato in
the jar. I decided not to leave it in the car because it will just keep cooking, won't it?
Exactly, yeah.
It's got a little tomato and some coriander leaves.
What I missed, and obviously Wayne missed it as well, is we didn't see your breakfast this morning. You normally post a picture of your breakfast. What did you have?
Yeah, difficult this morning because the new husband is in Nigeria, so I was a bit rushed because I had to walk the greyhound, drop the greyhound off because you don't like her in the studio, even though she'd just curl up and sleep.
Yeah, and eat the studio.
So I had to walk her. So I had a very quick green smoothie, which you don't like.
Oh, but that's horrible.
It was marine collagen. It was cacao organic.
Was there any food in it?
Spinach, celery.
This is a chemical cocktail, isn't
there
it?
There is. Yeah. Coconut.
It's like something from a disco in the 70s.
I had that.
Yeah. And do you want a chemical cocktail?
And then I thought I need a bit more protein, so I had a little boiled egg as well. So this would be number two.
Two eggs?
Yeah.
It was like Cool Hand Luke.
What did Cool Hand Luke do with two eggs?
Do you remember Steve McQueen, Cool Hand Luke?
I don't remember him boiling eggs.
Yeah, they were eating, he was eating boiled eggs, wasn't he?
He with Paul Newman in that?
Oh, it might have been Paul Newman, I don't remember.
One of them.
Yeah, one of them.
They were so handsome in those days. I tell you what, there's
me or them?
Well, all of us, but, you know, Paul Newman, Robert Redford.
Yeah.
I don't normally like blonde men, but Robert Redford, hello.
He's a bit ginger, really. He's not really blonde, is he?
He's not ginger.
He's ginger.
Is he?
You have a look closely, he's ginger.
Well,
yeah.
He's quite old now, but
he's grey now.
He's still got it now.
Yeah.
But Robert Redford, you know, I look at all these young actors, I don't really, you know, but Paul Newman and I've forgotten all their names.
Well, you're getting all excited now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a few. David Essex, of course, singer, but also an actor. He was very handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else?
We went to see
David. Who did
David.
You like?
We went to see David, didn't we, in his old restaurant. Does he still own that?
Yeah, I wear a little pair of moccasins by the door.
Yeah.
He's gone now. He's sold it. And I think he's left Whitstable now.
Has he?
But do you remember I said that there was no sign of him, just a little whiff of his aftershave, and he tweeted, I don't wear aftershave.
He's left and Suggs has moved in, hasn't he?
Yeah, Suggs is there. Yeah.
Okay, Life in Cash has tweeted, could we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please, for Life in Cash? Life in Cash is a life and legacy plan, a highly secure digital archive for everything essential in someone's life, ensuring that important information and documentation are not overlooked or misplaced. What a good idea. You can follow them on the Twitter. Their Twitter handle is Life in Cash LTD.
And the lovely Nurse Liz, she's on the Twitter, Nurse Liz J. She's based in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, 65000.
Is that her address?
And she says Accent City because she loves an accent. So she's listening to AOP and Birmingham and everything else.
Yeah, well, she's American.
And then you, Kent.
She can't work out.
Your Kent accent, my Essex accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, she loves an accent.
Oh, don't blame her.
She doesn't know still what a jumper is. Because a jumper for American is someone that jumps off a roof.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what a woolly jumper is.
No, it's a pullover.
Yeah. What does she call it?
Or a jersey.
A sweater.
Or a sweater.
A sweater.
Yeah.
Or a kangaroo.
Yeah. Or a kangaroo. Yeah. Don't start her with her Australian stuff.
No.
We've only just lost Dame Edna. We'll get her back as well.
I use a little bit of eucalyptus in my Danny.
too much information. Thank you. Move on.
I'll tell you what.
To clean it. It's how you clean your Danny.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Go on, you're obviously going to.
Yeah, you know, with the passing of Barry Humphries, I've been vindicated. I had this thing where somebody said to me a couple of years ago, what's a kind of a rude thing you'd say to someone that isn't really swearing? And I said, go stick your head up a dead bear's bum. And they went, well, where did that come from? It was a Barry Humphries thing. There was a cartoon called Barry McKenzie in Private Eye that was written by Barry Humphries, and one of his sayings was, go stick your head up a dead bear's bum. And nobody believed me. Because he died recently, they've just
That's what Paul Andrews was saying.
You weren't fibbing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's nice when you're vindicated.
Yeah. Being serious for a moment, Sarah Marsh Collins is unable to join us to listen live. She's going to catch up later. She's currently in A&E at the Queen Elizabeth with her old dad. So we're hoping that you get seen soon and that everything's good. And do pass our best wishes on to your dad, Sarah.
We're wishing you luck there. I hope it's better than some of the visits. Sounds like they're triaging him in 2.5 hours, which is fairly good.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Like Casey Canine has written in. Yeah. She's tweeted. He's tweeted. Casey Canine 2014. He says he is a greyhound. He says very disappointed.
A talking greyhound.
Yeah. Very and very literal. You know, can write and everything. Mm-hmm. Very disappointed to hear that Vanilla Webb has banished my favourite Darcy. That's my greyhound. From the studio, she should come and stay with me, Jules Serkin. Please, can I have a shout out today? B Bunker, he's used the B Bunker hashtag. Well done, Casey K9. And he also wants to mention Kent Greyhound Rescue and Herondon Vets. But it's spelt like
a Herondon.
Herondon.
Yeah, it's Herondon.
Herondon.
It's a place.
Well, it depends if you're Kentish. It's your accent, isn't it? Herondon.
She's from Essex. I'd say
Herondon. And Kent Greyhound. Now, I have to say that I did a tweet on Our Neighbourhood, or whatever it's called. You know that app where you...
Yeah.
I never forget what it's called, but about what was it, Dogs Trust that gave me Darcy Greyhound, and I said that I'd rang them about her behavioural problems, which there are many, and they'd ignored me. And then immediately I got a message from Canterbury Dogs Trust, and they've given me a lovely crate which I can make into a cosy den, leaving the door open, not locking her in, cosy den. So she can be left.
You've just put yourself on the spot there, haven't you?
Why?
Well, you just told me that you had to go back to them because of all the problems you were having with the dog. And then 5 minutes before that, you told me, you won't let me, my dog comes in, there's no trouble at all. You're a blooming fibber.
No,
you're a fibber, aren't
because
you?
Because she doesn't like being left. Here, she'd have a biscuit and curl up in the corner and snore.
Yeah, she'd also have all the microphones and all the cameras. Anyway, do you know what?
Tunage.
It's cheesy tunage.
I won't be able to choose this one, will I?
You won't. You won't even need to try and guess because it is the cheesiest cheese.
Is it football crazy? I had a favourite brother and his Christian name is Paul. Do you know that one?
Yeah, yeah.
It's football crazy.
It's something like that.
Is it?
It's something like that.
Will I know it?
No.
Oh, sounds like Back Home. Oh, something else. What is it?
It's just a kid's party song.
Oh, please. Yeah. How would I guess that?
Well, exactly.
I'm
a fan, I'm a football fan,
football crazy, yes, I am. Terrible song. Let's cheer them on their way. We'll sing and sway. Ole, 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 ole.
I think that's enough of that. Let's have some adverts instead.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Construction businesses, we're celebrating the very best projects, people, innovations and businesses in construction. Could this be you? Winning an award can help you open doors to contracts, find new supply channels and break into new markets. Each winner will receive a beautifully engraved trophy along with a total prize package worth over £1,000. Enter the Southeast Construction Awards now at constructionexpoawards.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
That was football fun or something as a kid's thing.
Yeah, I sort of knew a few of those bits.
Well, I had a toss up. I didn't want to do Three Lions. That was a bit dated, and Fat Les was a bit over the top, so I went with that, really.
Mm.
I was going to do Chelsea Dagger or Liquidator.
Liquidator's good.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have meant anything to anybody else.
Yeah, I play that a lot, but that's our age, sorry. Isn't it?
Yeah. It's the theme tune that Chelsea run out to on the pitch in everything apart from Champions League. We're not allowed to play it in the Champions League. Yeah. Anyway, that was a football fan song, and that's in homage to our next two guests, who I'm sure will are really pleased about that. Although I did notice Dave singing along. He did seem to know the words.
Just about my generation.
We're joined this afternoon by Paul and Dave from Wellington United Football Club. Gents, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, both of you.
I want to kick off. See what I did there? Oh, dear.
Foul.
Yeah, this show's not... Yeah, it's not just thrown together, you know, Terry. It's planned. Yeah. I want to start off by just going over the history of Wellington Football Club, because what you've achieved as a club is unbelievable, really, in the annals of local football. So why don't you give us a quick potted history from 1963, Paul, of Wellington?
I haven't been there that long. I've only been there 6 years myself, but obviously I don't know a lot about the club. It did start in 1963. It's our 60th anniversary this year.
Right.
So there's a few things planned for that. But he started off as a kids team, a youth side in the park, and it just grew from there. I think it's just a constant success over a very short period of time. Well, a relatively short period of time.
Yeah.
From that, I believe they're playing Danson Park, and then they ended up. They moved again somewhere else and ended up taking over the old Bexley United ground, Parkview Road, in the I think it was the '70s. It was a derelict ground that they took it over and did you know, give it a bit of a facelift, and they've been there ever since. And from those humble beginnings in 63, they made a rapid, like I said, rapid rise, and within 23 years in 89, which is a remarkably short period of time in terms of a football club.
Yeah,
they went from that park team to
it's shorter than the time since Spurs last won a trophy, isn't it?
there is that. But I said that from that point to 1989, those few years, they actually ended up in the FA Cup third round,
right?
Which is, I mean, if that happened now, can you imagine starting a team now and then in 29, 30 years' time, that the team that you've just started gets to the third round of the FA Cup? It never happened again,
right?
That was a meteoric rise that I think a lot of people don't know about and don't realise how impressive that rise was.
It is, yeah.
Through that, and that was still the Hobbinses when the Hobbins family ran the club. It was a fantastic fantastic run from start to that particular time, and in the 2000s they actually got, you know, I think to the National League or the Vauxhall Conference, and they were in it as recently as 2013, up to maybe 16 when they got relegated. So not so long back, and also we've got we're planning to get there again in hopefully not too distant future.
Right.
But yeah, but it's, there's a lot more to the club now than what there was then and what there has been for the last few years. We're trying to grow as a club.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons that I wanted to get you on the show and I wanted to talk to you is the fantastic work you're doing in the community. You really are a community club, aren't you? Yeah. And you do, you've got so many teams, so many things. We were talking off air before this. You even run a deaf football team, which is absolutely brilliant. As a lot of our listeners know, I'm very involved in the deaf community myself, and it's a great thing that you're doing. But you've got more. You've got girls teams, you've got women's teams, you've got boys teams, you've got all kinds of things going on there. Yeah. But more than that, you're just a fundamental part of the community as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I was chairman. Well, effectively, I still am till the end of the season. But I've stepped down recently. But my first job or my first thing I wanted to do when I became chairman was to re-engage with the community. I don't think the club, certainly during my time there over the last 6 years as a director, I've never been really active as a director. I've always been more of a supporter than anything else. But as chairman, my first thought was to engage with the community, the businesses, the people, the supporters. You know, I just thought we've missed out on a generation, maybe two generations of supporters. There were no kids there. Right. There were never any kids at the games. And at that previous regime, I think they thought, I mean, kids were more trouble than they were, because they don't pay a great deal, they don't drink many pints. So I've tried to reverse that completely, and we have done.
Absolutely, and we were talking about this, and I'm a businessman, and one of the things I talk about a lot is what I call lifetime value of a customer.
Yes.
Yeah. By having kids arrive somewhere, you get them hooked in. You know, the fact they don't buy a pint of beer, well, they probably would if you let them, but the fact they don't buy a beer as an 11-year-old doesn't mean to say that they'll still be at that club when they're 20, 30, 40, 50.
That was exactly my sort of selling point to the rest of the board, and it's you've got to get them hooked. You know, the kids can't afford, and parents can't afford to take kids to Premiership games. No, if they can get tickets, if they can get tickets, they can't afford to go.
Yeah.
You know, a dad and two kids is probably best part of £250 to watch a game, you know, whereas you come to Welling United, a dad and two kids, you know, depending what game it is, for 15, 20 quid, and, you know, it's a fairly reasonably priced afternoon or day out, and that's what I was trying to encourage, and it worked very well. It was working very well. One or two things have happened this season that have sort of made it a little bit more difficult, but I think in future we're still looking to long term, still go down that road, and encourage more kids. And to be fair, we have had probably 10 times more kids this season than any other time I've been there, and it's going very well. It was going very well, and hopefully next season we'll pick up and we'll do that again.
I think it's really important. I think it's really important that as part of the community, you know, I mean, all kids support, you know, one of the top Premiership clubs or whoever's winning the titles at the moment, and stuff like that. But as you say, you know, the cost of going to Premier League football now is unbelievable, isn't it? You know, compared to back in the day, I'm old enough to remember paying 10 and 6 to go on the shed.
Yeah, I used to have a rattle as well. Do you have rattles anymore? Little wooden rattles?
I've all got rattles. Yeah, we sell them with someone in the club.
Only the stand rattles now.
You're not allowed in the ground with a weapon. No. But you're right, you know, and there's nothing stopping you going and supporting your local team. In your local community team, it doesn't stop you supporting a Premier League club, because, as you say, the chances of you getting tickets to go and watch one of the top clubs is very remote, and you have to get a mortgage to do it as well. So
you get kids there once, and there's a very good chance. If you give them a good experience as a family, they can get hooked. And we've had that this season. We've got loads of kids, even with the girls. That's why I'm here today with Dave to talk about the women's side of the football club. We're trying to raise the profile of that, because I think that's where we need to be looking now. And the kids have really, and Dave will tell you, they've really taken to that.
Yeah. What we decided to do this year, I mean, you know, we talk about the rise of the regional Welling United team. Mm. Well, the women are replicating that already. I mean, they are on the brink of becoming professional within a couple of years of being formed. They're fighting for promotion this year. And what I love about this team, I mean, is that it's all about the community, and it's all about bringing people through. They had two 16-year-old girls in the academy make first-team appearances at the weekend. And you know what they really wanted to do at that level. See, unfortunately, professional now, you are almost disconnected from the players.
Yeah.
So what we did is we formed the business club around Welling United, right, to bring some finances.
The original business club.
Yeah, the original business club. And what that did is it brought in some very, very good members. A photographer, Leanne, right, Suttle. We had a printer that printed the very first ever programme for the women's team, Mike, right, Leegan. Started to give them a professional outlook, yeah, you know. Then we brought in a stage two is an app with Club Core and a company called Ticket Pass that allowed us to do online ticket sales to children for nothing,
right,
to,
okay,
come to the game. And with the academy and with these businesses that are all linking together, we've managed to put a professional outfit together,
right,
for practically zero, right, in the cost.
Excellent.
Which is unheard of. At that particular level, the women are playing at, which is, I think, step six of the women's pyramid.
Yep. Yeah.
The you know, it's what we've done is we've put a professional sort of spin on it with the programmes. No else has got programmes. You know, we're playing at the stadium. A lot of the clubs don't play at the main stadium. Yeah, and you know, we have an announcer announcing the teams. It's all very
professional.
We're trying to give
medals for player in a match, yeah, sustainable medals.
What I promised them was that we'd give them sort of parity with the men's team, and obviously that comes at a cost. So we're having to sort of try and raise our own money. The football clubs have supported the women to a point and allowed them to get where they are, but with the business club, we had a business club, and then the women of the business club decided to form a women's business club.
So Rachel from Point of View Double Glazing and Amaya from the Shutter Tree decided to set up a women's own business club to fund the women's football club.
What does the Shutter Tree do?
The Shutter Tree are window shutters.
Oh, okay.
They work quite well together.
Not trees.
I see what they did there.
Yeah, yeah. See, that, there was a perfect link there.
And what was the first business, windows?
And Point of View Glazing.
So two windowy, yeah, so, sort of,
yeah, absolutely, and you know, and they've come in and they're bringing some businesses in, but more importantly,
brilliant.
So a window of opportunity,
a window of opportunity. Absolutely. And we didn't want to shut it down. Sorry,
you make a glaze over.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, at the end of the day, what we've also brought in is we've got six very community focused organisations. We have a charity called Take a Knife, Save a Life, which is against gang
culture. What's it called?
Take a Knife, Save a Life.
Okay, good
against
one.
Against gang culture,
yeah,
and mental health.
Yeah.
And we want to use the platform of the club to engage people into a friendly environment.
Yeah.
Yep. We've got Chartwell Cancer Trust, which is obviously a trust for children and adults.
Yeah.
We've got the Rob Hill Foundation, which is regarding addiction.
Yeah.
You know, physical, mental addiction, yeah, etc. We've got a songwriters charity. Now, this is Nathan. He goes to all primary schools and engages children in songwriting and writes song anthems for the club, right, which is lovely. And then we have Discover Welling, which help all of the... they do these Christmas lights in Welling, all the high street. And one that I love. I love them all, but I'm ADHD, so I'm neurodiverse. And Forward to Employment help get neurodiverse people into work. Almost like apprenticeship type things.
We've also been at the Jack Jeffries Superhero Trust. We've got a game in July. It's a celebrity match, 16th of July I think it is, so just keep your eyes out for that. That's Jack Jeffries Superhero Trust. It's was an old Charlton charity that they had a bit of trouble with Charlton, I believe, so they asked us to step in, so we're now hosting the game for that's in conjunction with the Charitable Cancer Trust as well, so yeah, right, we've got quite a lot on.
And the very last thing, just to finish off there, Paul, sorry.
You carry on.
This collaboration of the original business club, the formidable women's business club, these communities, and some really strong women. We've got Sarah White, who plays up front. She now actually represents England for the Association of Foot Golf, and she's going to the World Cup.
Wow.
So in May, Sarah White, who plays up front, is going to the Foot Golf World Cup in America.
Wow, okay.
And you wouldn't know that, would you? It's Welling United.
Yeah.
You know? And these are the things we sing about. And the answer to that is exactly what you just said about crowds. This club was with about 49 fans per ground, per game, on average this year, which is about the same.
Right.
The last game that we had against Ashford, which was postponed, we'd sold over 400 tickets.
Wow.
Every child goes free. They go on the pitch.
Bear in mind, that was more than double the record. The league record, which we only hold for a game the week before that, 168.
Yeah, so we broke the league record 2 weeks on the spin. And we're aiming for 1,000 in our last game. So that's us.
That's
any questions? Okay. We're going to talk
about that game in a minute. Absolutely. The women's game has come on leaps and bounds. Absolutely. Correct. Leaps and bounds. I know it's at totally the other end of the spectrum, but my club, Chelsea Women, just set a new record. They played Barcelona in the semi-final of the Champions League, and they played the game at Stamford Bridge, because Chelsea Women have their own stadium at Kingstown in Surrey. But but they played the game at Stamford Bridge, and there was 27,000 there. Yeah, I remember the days when our first men's team couldn't get that many.
I can remember when Chelsea was getting 7,000 and 8,000.
7,000 and 8,000. Yeah. I was at some of those games. Yeah, in the late 70s, early 80s, when you know we were on the brink of the third division. But the women's game has come on enormously, and like so many things with football, it's grassroots led. It's from the bottom up.
You can see the pathway into the women's at the moment. Now, don't get me wrong; it's going to change the bigger it gets.
Yeah,
but there's an easier pathway at the moment, because at the moment it's proper grassroots. It hasn't all been taken over too much commercially at the slightly lower level. You know, so to step, when United go up one division they're professional,
yeah,
or one or two divisions they're professional, and then these girls at 16 year old are already playing on the stadium in front of 300-400 people. It's fantastic.
That's brilliant. Right, you've got a game coming up, and this is where the rivalry starts to kick in, because our studio here is in Ashford.
We've got two coming up. We've got Hastings first, they're second, so we've got to beat them. But that won't be easy. But the last game of the season on May 14th is probably the title decider. There's a chance we might be if results go our way. There's an outside possibility we could be champions, but it's looking unlikely. But Ashford are in a very good position, and for that it's going to be a massive game regardless. And it's Women's FA Cup final day, so we're making it a big Women's Day, if you like. And we're looking to go for a target 1,000 people there that day. And that will be real newsworthy stuff.
Is the game at Welling or Ashford?
It's at Welling.
Yeah. So the game's at Welling on the 14th of May.
Yep.
It's
2 o'clock kickoff.
Sorry, what time?
2 o'clock.
12, isn't it? FA Cup after that, 12 o'clock.
Oh, we moved it to 12 to the FA Cup. Yeah, we moved it back. Sorry. Yeah.
Don't turn up at 2, you'll miss it.
12 o'clock kickoff. At Welling. Yes. Be there.
Parkview Road, DS16 1SY.
Yes.
It's available online.
Tickets available online. You can click on the QR code, or there's links online. Just find them and you're there.
Guys, what you're doing is fantastic. I love all the things that you're doing. You know, you really are embedding yourself in the community. You're doing all the right things as far as I'm concerned. Introducing young people, just as fans, to watch the club, introducing young people into playing football, no matter what their background is. That is just so good. We went through a period in this country where, especially at school, where sports kind of got sidelined a little bit, which was a massive, massive failure.
Yeah, most of the pictures are getting sold off for housing, etc.
So what you're doing is bringing that back to where it should be, and giving kids access to sport, part of the community, and doing stuff. But I also like the fact that you've done this by forming business related clubs, you know, to get businesses involved in financing some of this.
Fund it ourselves, Paul.
You know, because local community sponsorship is a big, powerful thing, you know, and for the right businesses locally, it's a no-brainer anyway. You know, you're spending a few quid supporting your local community team, you know, you're going to get a huge amount of publicity out of it, and you're going to do a huge amount of good in the community.
When we first started the business club, that's one of our sort of selling points, wanted to get people in. We said, I wanted to make the football club the hub of the community.
Yeah.
And we allow local businesses who are in the business club to use our facilities. If it's just for meetings or whatever, just give them somewhere to meet up. And we want to make it. Hopefully, God willing, when we get the new stadium, planning application goes in June, all being well. Hopefully when we get our new stadium, 3G pitch, we can really push this on even more. Much better facilities, maybe an academy, classrooms at the ground. Like we say, the deaf team could play at the ground. We can then look at the walking football. And another thing as well I forgot to mention, we have Welling United will be the first, just talking to, working with a guy called Colin Wood. He's just built the first, world's first ever wheelchair that goes on grass. It's actually been It's actually been used in Twickenham for a rugby game in November, but they're now adapting it for a football. Willie United will have the very first football team.
Will Jeff playing the stadium?
Well, I'm hoping there'll be another team, otherwise it'd be a bit of a boring match. But I think there's another club in Lindby who are also doing the same. But we'll be sort of front runners in that.
Fantastic. That as well. No, that's really brilliant. And you're going for a new stadium as well. It's all happening down there, isn't it? Yeah. It's no hanging about, is it?
Yeah, application goes in. There's obviously residential development that goes with it, obviously, because the profit from the residential will fund this new stadium. So, and the idea is to make the club sustainable.
Yeah. What the business club members don't realise is their membership goes up 100 times next year.
Interesting. It is a way of funding things like that. My kids, who were both footballers, but also played hockey. My eldest son was a National League hockey player. But when they were kids, they played for a small village hockey team. And one of the ways they raised money is they sold a debenture against their existing ground that was then sold for housing development. And out of the profit of that, they built a brand new AstroTurf and clubhouse and all the rest of it.
Put it back into the community.
And put it all back in, and that worked a dream.
Well, the beauty of what we're doing is that we don't have to. We're staying at Parkview Road. That's pretty key.
Yeah.
We're one of the very few clubs that have got a ground that's still on the main road on High Street.
Right.
Very few clubs have got that now. So obviously there's a bit of room behind the ground. So we push the pitch back towards Danson Park.
Right.
Gives us enough room to just put a few residential units with a row of commercial units below them, which will remain part of the club. So that the income from that obviously again makes the club sustainable.
Yeah.
The 3G pitch. Allowing so the public, the community can use the facilities.
Yeah.
You know, it all works, and it's the only way I think these days to make sure that clubs at our level are sustainable.
Right. Do you have a 3G pitch at the moment?
No, we don't. And that, again, we're sharing the pitch with most of the women use it, and there's another club who rent, well, sort of have a lease at the ground. So it's difficult because to keep the pitch in a decent maintenance is difficult with three teams using grass. But obviously, when the 3G pitch comes in, it's that makes it completely different. We've got loads more opportunities to allow the community use for the academies, you know, for the women's kids teams, the scholarship program. There's so many things we can do, which will.
We've only just started, haven't we, Paul? One year in.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Listen, guys, thank you for sharing that with us. It's a fantastic story, the history of Welling United. But more than that, what you guys are doing now is really important to, you know, and you really are a fundamental part of your community.
I just want to say one thing, Paul. We're doing a lot, but the business community behind us do a lot, the charities do a lot, but the most important people, those girls on the pitch and those men on the pitch, because without them, there is no event to go to.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. And the effort these guys put in, week out, are phenomenal.
Right.
So there we go.
Supporters are more important.
Cool. Thank you, chaps. Just give a shout out for Welling United's website so that people can come and check it out, see when you're playing and see where your address is, and they can come to the game on the 14th.
WellingUnited.com.
Fantastic. That link, there's a link to all of this on the Kent Business Radio website. That will stay there as well. But get along.
We'll give you a link to the online ticketing system where all under 11s and under 16s can come to the women's matches free of charge.
If you send me that link, I'll put it up on the radio website.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But get along. We're ordering you, and we're going to check to see if you went. Yeah, 14th of May. We're going to make sure that all of our listeners are.
You're all going to check in and post it on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Paul, Dave, thank you so much for that.
Thank you both very much for the opportunity.
It's an absolute pleasure. You stay with us for the rest of the show.
Yep.
We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in a few moments. But
we've got Nurse Liz from Pennsylvania, says football hashtag windows. So she's listening in. And then we have the lovely Tracy Ferguson. She's at Tazi64. She says, hello, great guests and conversation using Bee Bunker hashtag. She sent us a picture of her beautiful lino prints, which are lovely. I can scroll across. Look, they're beautiful. She's lino printing while she listens to the Business Bunker and you chaps.
She also sent a tweet about a guy saying how inspirational it is. So,
Oh,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just trying to catch up with them. Have you got anything you need to read? You've got an email or something?
Yeah. Let's find a shortest one. So,
sorry, just while you're finding that, Tracy Ferguson, fantastic conversation with the guys from Welling United. Inspirational, bringing many diverse areas of the community together through sport. Wishing you amazing success.
Thank you very much.
And selling the fundamentals. Chris Pollard's listening in, and he said, I need to eat a proper breakfast. He obviously has never seen my tweets, Paul Andrews.
No, he's not, yeah. Because she doesn't need to eat anything.
A smoothie is a quickie, but normally I have eggs, bacon, avocado, and coffee. Yes, Chris Pollard, I have.
And she has a three-course breakfast. Where were you the other day? She was in a cafe the other day, and she showed me a picture of her breakfast, and it was like bacon and avocado on sourdough toast or something.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Lovely.
No, nothing. I said, oh, that's nice. And then I found out that was the second course.
Do you know, I can't even remember where I was. Where was I?
It was in a cafe somewhere that you were waxing lyrical about. And it turned out you'd had Eggs Benedict before.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, that's the refectory in Canterbury in St Dunstan's. It's very, very good there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they allow dogs as well, so I quite like it. Selling the Fundamentals, Business Expert new book reveals the inside knowledge of how beginners can succeed in enterprise sales. With over a quarter of a century at the top of his game in high-tech and software sales, Mark Engel's Selling the Fundamentals generously shares these tactics and strategies that have skyrocketed him to sales success. Whether working in the enterprise market, he advocates not focusing on the type of organisation, its geographic location or cultural confines, but rather invest time to read his book, make playing to human instinct your sales priority, and enjoy the results of your endeavours. So details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk as always. It's independently published. It's called The Fundamentals of Selling, and you can buy it in paperback $8.99 or Kindle $7.99. I just bought a book for Darcy and put it on my I got it with one of my credits.
Does she
on
read
Audible that? She can listen, you see. It's about leaving your dog and how she shouldn't be frightened to be on her own.
Is she taking that in?
Well, I'm going to play it to her tonight. I'm going to start chapter one. Yeah, it's called I'll Be Back in a Minute or something, or I'll Be Back Soon by a behaviour expert.
Oh, right.
I hope she takes it in.
And the dog's going to listen and
on
take
Audible.
It on board. Yeah,
on Alexa.
I don't know this person, but they tweeted in. It's Teddy Darby. Is their Twitter handle, and they said, great to hear about the community engagement at Welling United from Paul Whitehead.
Is he one of your fans, do you think?
No. Teddy?
No, don't know.
He's probably in the stand with a rattle and you've never noticed.
Jules, you're not allowed to take a rattle into a football ground.
You're not anymore.
It's a weapon.
Really?
Yes.
We do have a couple of dogs, a couple of people that take dogs with them.
Really?
On the Sundays, yeah.
That's not a weapon.
I'm just saying.
Do you allow greyhounds?
How accessible it is.
Of course. Yeah.
My greyhound would run round.
Apparently your greyhound sits in the corner of the biscuit.
Well, yeah, but she can run. She's very fast. But yeah, she would sit in the corner here and just sleep.
Right, Tenterson Chamber of Commerce have been on. Hi, Paul and Jules. How about a shout out for the CS Mitchell boys putting up the flags in Tenterson High Street, ready for the coronation? Oh, there you go.
Oh, what are you doing on the coronation?
Me? Not watching.
No, neither am I. I'm going out. Yeah. I loved the Queen. I did love the Queen. I'm not so sure about Charles.
I need to mention about that as well. Sorry, I forgot.
Go on, hey, what's happening?
Welling United, we're doing a community day on the 8th of May. It's a coronation, part of the coronation weekend. It's a community day. It's free of charge. Get yourselves down. Families, kids.
Stalls, games.
It's all there. It's free to get in.
But you have to pay to get out.
Yeah. I dare say the food and drinks won't be free, but yes, it's something we've put on for the community as part of the coronation weekend on this May the 8th.
Fantastic.
That sounds good. What beer do you sell there?
Timmy Taylor's.
Do you have Stamford Port Bars?
Yeah, John Smith's.
Oh, John Smith, yeah.
Tetley's.
Tetley.
Yeah, no, we're going to have a beer tent with all ales, so it's going to be a proper... Ale tent, if you like.
Is that for the coronation thing?
Yeah, it's for community day. Yeah, it's all kids' rides and stuff.
I'll be with you though, Paul, not watching.
Yeah.
But you'll be at the community day.
Oh, that's right.
Kent Creative have tweeted, good afternoon. Can we have a mention, please, for Culture in Kent, our newly launched directory for arts and culture in Kent? Creators can show what they do, and culture lovers can find cultural events. The website is cultureinkent.org. And that's Natalie Benay. And Natalie was in the studio last week, filming us for a documentary, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
And you haven't watched it yet, have you?
No, I said to her I'd watch last night, and then I had all that stuff about my jab. So yeah. Then I said I'll watch it in the studio with you, but you've already watched
it. I've already watched
it. How long is it?
What?
Is it that?
Yeah, it's at least that.
Okay. So how long is your video that we need to watch?
It was a few minutes.
I can watch it after the show.
Yeah, you can.
Did we look ugly or did we look all right?
Well, you did. I was perfect. Well, I was fantastic.
Well, I just think we should soft focus it all at our age, you know. Because, like, if you're on telly, which I've been on telly a few times, they put light on you. You look fabulous. You look great. But, you know, without the lighting, it's terrible.
I
know,
it only looked better with less light.
In the dark.
Yeah. Now, television puts a few pounds on you. In my case, it put on £150. But,
Well, you know, when I was on GB News, I had the worst pair of shoes on, and I was rushed because they send a car. And I said to my husband, these shoes don't go with this outfit, do they? And he said, no. I said, oh, but the car's out. So I ran off. I said, they won't look at that. It's just be head and shoulders. And then he texted me while I was live, and he said, they've just cambered in on your platform boots. You know, it's like very bad. I was going to say, we've got the lovely, one of our famous authors, Miriam McGurk.
Yep.
I'm going to read out her little website here, where you can pre-order a book, first of all. So go to 3 W's, books to read, that's books with the number 2 read.com/Miriam, and it's Miriam McGurk, McGurk, and she says, only days to go before Second Chances is released into the world on the 25th of April. Thank you again to my advanced readers, my early reviewers, and everyone's support throughout this novel writing adventure. So it's called Second Chances, and good reviews are like receiving thoughtful Christmas presents and birthday gifts all at the same time. Truly magical. And with that in mind, I ask for your help to ensure Second Chances launch has the success it deserves. Thank you, Miriam and Chris.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to reading that as well. So keep on keeping on, Miriam. I've had a tweet from Wayne Cunningham.
Is he still in the garden?
He is. He's saying, loving the banter on the show today. Something about football that brings it out. Business Bunker, very inspirational for sure, to encourage those less fortunate in life and to encourage the community. So thank you, Wayne. Yep, absolutely.
And there's a coffee morning at Kenwood. It's a monthly Kenwood coffee morning. Cakes and savouries available. And the next one is on Thursday, the 27th of April. It's 10:30 to 3 p.m. You can just turn up. You don't need to book. It's at the cafe. And that's Kenwood Trust, Kenwood Road. And that's Kenwood, W-A-R-D. Yalding, Kent. And that's M for Mother, E for Egbert, 18, 6, A for someone, and H for Harold. A for Albert.
Aardvark.
Aardvark always reminds me of those, you know, plumbing companies that say, get an A, that's how you get in first in the yellow pages.
Two A's.
Yeah, Aardvark.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's Yalding Kenwood Trust.
Kent Creative have posted a still photograph shot from the video of last week. I look good in it.
What have they done?
They've posted a still photograph from the studio last week.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, in our Yeti costumes.
And you've got your Yeti gilet on.
It's very cold, though, sometimes. But today I'm quite warm.
Right.
Bye Bye Baby, it's to open at Leeds Castle, and it's a jaw-dropping tribute to the musical phenomenon Jersey Boys, showing the timeless, iconic music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Love them. It's announced it's the opening act for this year's Leeds Castle concert. It's the 8th of July. Since Jersey Boys appeared on Broadway and the West End, the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons is as popular as it was in their heyday in the 1960s. So join us, they say, at Leeds Castle with the headline sponsor, Breachers, on Saturday the 8th of July of this year for a truly memorable summer's evening of world-class entertainment set in Leeds Castle. A-up. Leeds, glamorous surroundings, Leeds in Kent, tickets make the perfect, unique and memorable gift and are currently on sale at prices of £55 for a picnic and 65 seated. Purchase 10 or more tickets and receive a 10% discount. Website, www.leedscastleconcert.co.uk. That sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Sounds good. It does. As we say in Yorkshire, lovely jubbly.
Lovely jubbly. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
That's from Peckham, isn't it? Lovely jubbly. Yeah.
You know, when I was in Dubai, we were in the old souk. All the Arab guys, all the Arab sellers in the old souk, were, as my husband was going by, I said this the other day, he's got long
hair. Your new husband.
My new husband. He's got long hair, and they're all saying, oh, lovely jubbly, Jack Sprat. Jack Sprat.
Jack Sparrow.
Sorry, I feed my dog Sprats. And he was going, why is this Jack Sprat? Like, everybody was saying it to him. And we had to Google it, and Jack Sparrow. And